my wife, Jackie. And when we were last here, we had just been married in June of 2014. And we have came here, and we were here about a month, and had the delight of going to my daughter's wedding in Pasadena. And so Jackie's going to start off kind of telling you about our work and what she does in it, and then I'm going to do some things, and then she's going to kind of finish up. But how much time do we have? I'm just... What?
An hour.
Oh, okay. And I will be passing... Well, I'll talk a little bit about books that we have published. This is the Larum, where I'm going to be talking about the Larum. This is their Luke. And this is the Baya, Acts, and Galatians. We can just pass these around for you to look at. This is Dinka Cham. This is 1st and 2nd Kings. And Dinka Cham, 1st and 2nd Samuel. And Dinka Cham, Deuteronomy, and Judges. So you may gather this is an Old Testament project. And this is the Larum Mark. And this is the Larum Genesis and Exodus 1 through 24, which I just received in my hands just days before we left. So we'll pass those around. You can take a look.
What language is this?
That's Larum. So Jackie.
Okay, so, well, it's really good to be with you all. So, yeah, I'm just going to really introduce our presentation. We've put a map up of South Sudan there. I think because Wes was in this church for many years and is still part of this church, you all know Wes. So I'm actually working with Wes, but I'm actually the country director for SIL, or Wycliffe Bible Translators, in South Sudan. So in a way, my role is more administrative, and I do a lot with sort of project funding. It's actually been quite a sort of tumultuous time since we last visited with you guys. And even when we were with you last time, there had been some fighting in South Sudan. And basically in the last 6 months, there has been more fighting in South Sudan. In August 2015, there was a peace agreement between the rebels and the government. And in July this year, that broke down. And that meant that the rebel forces and the government forces in Juba, the capital, which is sort of on the southern part of this map, which is where we live, started fighting in Juba. And so there was basically a breakdown of that, a peace agreement. And so coming out of that, there's been a sort of spread of problems across the country. So about 2 years ago when we were here, most of the problems were up in the sort of northeast of the country, where it borders Sudan and Ethiopia, that corner. But since the fighting in July, there's been more trouble spreading in the southern part of the country. So some of it isn't big battles, but it's more like guerrilla fighting, a lot of instability if you're traveling on the roads. So that makes life quite difficult. So often if our staff are traveling or we're traveling, we're trying to fly. Despite that, we're still carrying on with 9 translation projects, full translation projects, where we're translating New Testament mostly, though some of the projects are also Old Testament projects. And actually, Wes is going to talk about 2 of those projects. And so I'll hand over to you, Wes.
Well, thank you. And Jackie, I'm just to move this. I'm just, do I click here?
Yeah, there you go.
But then when you... But can we can make this big?
Okay. That's all you can do, really.
Wes, I have a question.
Yes.
What radio stations are there in South Sudan? Because I have an internet radio.
What internet radio?
What radio stations are there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to fail you, Steve. There was actually an FM station that was recently closed down because they published an interview by the former vice president who had to flee in July for his life. and then the government shut them down. So there's only government radio stations that are broadcasting in South Sudan now. So.
No Christian stations?
Not per se, but there are sometimes stations that will allow Christian programs and reading of scripture in different languages, so yes. Well, this is a picture of our wedding, okay? And I think I can make this full screen, can I, Jackie?
No, it won't work. Okay. So that's all you can do on this.
All right. And.
So
this was a very joyful time, June 15, 2014. And of course, Steve Daniels was the one who married us. Quite a wonderful day. And we had a presentation at her, with elders and people involved in missions at her church last Sunday afternoon. And so we went over for tea and had a very nice tea, and then we had a presentation showing these same pictures, and then we had some food afterwards. So it was quite a wonderful, wonderful time. And I'm understanding that something's supposed to be happening next Sunday afternoon for others that can come and kind of hear us share. So you may not need to come again because we've already shared with you. Some of this will be review, but for some of you, you may not have been or heard me share or talk. I'm going to talk about two different projects. One is the LARAM, and this was going back in time to 2008. And I went to the village of Chukudum to do a community check of the Gospel of John in the Dadinga language. And the Dadinga right now have finished typesetting their New Testament. It will be going to the printer momentarily. Any day now it will go to the printer in Korea to be printed. I remember on that Monday morning I prayed a prayer. And the prayer was, Lord, who will come? Who will come to this community check? It was my first time to have a chance to go to this village of Chukudum. It's right on the border of Uganda and very near Kenya. It's a mountainous area. Very beautiful area, and my first time to actually go and be part of a community check of scripture. And God answered my prayer by about 35 to 45 people coming each day of the workshop, but specifically God answered my prayer with Joseph right here. Joseph came. And in fact, Joseph actually was not the Dinga. The Dinga was not his mother tongue, although he could speak the Dinga. His mother tongue was Laram. And you can see that Joseph was a bit taller than I, but we both have these very nice facial hairs. He had a very wonderful goatee. He told me he was 87 years old, very vigorous, 87 years old. He also told me that nothing had been done to bring God's word to his people, and that God meant me to meet him so that I could help bring God's word to the Laram people. Actually, I found out a little bit more that he had come to Chukudum. He didn't knew nothing about our workshop, and he had come on other business, but somehow was impressed to go to the church on Monday morning. Did not know quite why, and when he got near the church, he found out about the community check. Others were coming to the community check of Scripture, and he came. So, I was not quite sure what would come of this. I had him write a letter to our director, and he came and visited us in June at our compound in Juba, and in July he came again, and he came with his son Clement standing beside him, and with Peter Lignoli, who is a member of parliament in South Sudan. And it was a delight to me to meet Clement, because Clement was a lay teacher in the Catholic Church, and Clement had a great desire that his people not think that Christianity was being baptized and having a baptism name and having a cross around your neck. He wanted his people to be able to hear God's word. Here we now are in November of 2008, and we have already begun working with Clement, and we have checked the alphabet. to make sure that they had a good alphabet. And he is now, we printed some ABC stories and a little reader book, and we're back in their home village, and these children are seeing Dinga written for the very first time.
Larum was.
Larum, Dinga. Larum. Larum written for the very first time. And and they're very intrigued, and I could see them with their the little dog story book open, and they're reading it. You know, they had never read it. They had learned to read English, but not Larum. And you can see that they have taken to reading. Here is a boy standing in front of the classroom reading off. Clement began, and this is what I loved about Clement, is that he wanted his people to hear God's word. And the Catholic Church had translated the Sunday Prayer Missal, you see in orange, a three-volume Sunday Prayer Missal. So that was one of the three volumes that had scripture readings for each Sunday of the year. A scripture reading from the Old Testament, a scripture reading from the Gospels, and a scripture readings from the Epistles. And they were sizable readings, sometimes 10 to 15 verses each reading, plus prayers. So as a ready service, a priest or a catechist, lay teacher, could lead a service from the Sunday Prayer Missal. And they had translated this into Dinga, this related language. And Clement was delighted and tried to use it with his people. But they found it enough different. The name for God, Nequitch, is the same in both languages. There's many, many words that are exactly the same, but enough words that are different that they just did not want to accept, to try to understand the Dinga. There was enough things they were missing that they just didn't, they refused it. And so he was not to be deterred. He picked up a pen and paper, and he got this journal book, you can see, and he translated this Sunday Prayer Missal into Larum. So when his father said, nothing has been done to bring God's word to my people, he was not quite right. He was being a bit modest. His son had already started doing something, and I like doers. As you know, I was a painting contractor. I like working with my hands. I like people who don't just wait, that they get in and they take what they have and they go with it. And Clement did that. And this is a village scene among the Larum. This is their celebrating Independence Day, a very joyful day in July of 2011 when South Sudan became an independent nation. I wish that we could just have all celebrations, but we've had many tears since. And here I am showing Joseph what we have done. This is now 2010, showing what's been accomplished in the 2 years since I first met him. And in 2012, I helped build a house with Clement for him to be able to stay. So my Saturdays were taken up from May until mid-October. Almost every Saturday, I came home very, very tired. I lost some weight that year. That was good. And if you might notice that the poles did not always go straight up. So you see, I had to do a little something to put that door jam in place. I had to kind of fill up, put some fillers in to attach the door jam to the post. I never built a house before. I painted a lot of houses, so it was kind of an interesting experience. This is December of last year, where they've just published the book of Genesis and Mark and Luke. And just this year, just before in January of this year, we visited the Larum home area with a funder. Wycliffe USA is funding the Larum project. And here the Larum are coming to greet us. They're dancing, they're singing, very joyful to see us. And we had a chance to see women thatching their house. So this is a traditional house among the Larum, and it's the women who do the thatching. And it was the dry season, so it was the time to thatch. And here is a Larum young boy standing up in front of his elders reading from the Gospel of Matthew. And he told them, just with great self-assurance beforehand, how much he loved to read God's word. And then he read it. to them. And it's quite something how much the young people have taken to reading. And this is a consultant check of the Gospel of Matthew and the Book of Acts. And Joseph Modesto, right here, he is a fellow consultant. He first of all translated the Luo New Testament, and then these are members of the LARM community that have come at as the last part of the consultant check. They read Matthew and Acts and asked comprehension questions to make sure that it was being understood. And here is just, they've just received Genesis and Exodus, 1,000 copies have been printed. The printer had finished printing them, was ready to send them to us in August just as we were evacuating. So we had to say, wait, wait, and we finally received them just days before I left. Now, the Dinga are just ready to print their New Testament now. SIL started working among the Dinga in about 1981. Bible translation work did not begin till about 1999, and we're publishing their New Testament now. The LARM, I first made contact with them in 2008, and the LARM should be publishing their New Testament in 2020. So they are doing an adaptation, adapting from the Dinga as the first step, so that helps them. And I'm very, very happy with their progress. So I want to switch now to another language.
When?
Oh, no, not quite yet.
When?
Yes.
What is your role exactly with the Dinga?
Well, I am a translation consultant.
So everything goes through you after they...
Well, they make a draft, okay? And you saw Joseph, he is also a translation consultant. So they do a draft, they do a team revision, and then a consultant or a translation assistant, there's different levels of qualifications, will go verse by verse through the book with the translators. And we have an interlinear that allows us to see and have a good sense of what they're saying, verse by verse. And so then this is called an exegetical review, and then they'd go to the community and read through the book, and questions are asked and answered, and then they can make some more corrections, and then they do a back translation of the book back into English, and we have this word for word under each of their words, so we have two things to help us understand what they're saying verse by verse, and a consultant will then prepare, carefully look through every verse of that book, and prepare questions, and then meet with them and go through their book. And then part of that consultant, that's called a consultant check. And then after the consultant check, with the finishing projects, I have been involved in looking at key terms, 180 key terms, to see that they're handling these key terms in a good and accurate way, in a consistent way through their translation. I check to see that they're spelling biblical names in a consistent way. And we also check in finishing that love your neighbor as yourself occurs 8 times, I believe, in the New Testament. Now, you think that they translated these books different times, right? And they didn't look back to see how they translated love your neighbor as yourself. So now you have 7 or 8 different versions of love your neighbor as yourself. And so then we put into a template each verse where they have love your neighbor as yourself. Which way did you say it best? And then we take that and we put it the same way and we go back and put it into their New Testament so that the Old Testament quotes are quoted in an accurate and a consistent way each time it appears. And so that's my work. And with the finishing projects, the bio I'm going to talk a little bit more about, I'm actually doing a final, before we print, I'm reading verse by verse their whole New Testament and Old Testament books to make sure that things are really accurate, clear. So, yes?
Just real briefly, I noticed that you talked about the alphabet earlier. I noticed that it's like a Greco-Roman alphabet. Is that something that Wycliffe kind of developed out of their spoken language, or just literally their, this is literally their written language with Greco-Roman characters, right?
Well, they these languages, none of them, if you go back to 1900, okay, there were no written languages in South Sudan, okay? Now, the language that was spoken nearby that was written was Arabic, okay? But Arabic script is not well suited. Vowels are not a big deal in Arabic nor in Hebrew. Vowels are a very big deal in all of these southern Sudanese languages. So the Arabic script is not a good alphabet to use for these languages. So yes, this is a Roman script, but these but there's adaptations. We have vowel marks, we have tone sometimes. We sometimes use other phonetic characters. If you're looking at the Old Testament books, you will see a backward C. That's an aw sound. So we will have sometimes more vowel sounds depending on. So we develop an alphabet that works for each language, listens to the sounds of that language. How do we need to represent those sounds? How do we need to distinguish important things? So
they learn to read this written language.
They have to. Some of them may be able to know how to read English, okay? May know how to speak English, read English, but they will have to learn how to read their own language, because the sounds may be different. Even the same letter may have a slightly different sound in their language, and they have to learn how to recognize the tones and these kind of things as well. Yeah. Here you see a Larim girl reading God's word. And again, it's the Larim who have taken to reading. And here, the amazing thing, who is teaching whom in that picture? It's the child teaching this young woman to read. So this is the amazing thing, is that the children have taken to reading. And remember, in 2008, no one was reading Larim but Clement. So this work is not just Bible translation, but literacy. And this is what my wife was involved with before she became director. We have other people engaged in literacy, developing literacy, training teachers to teach in the language. So this is Larim, and I'm now going to ship. Okay, we have a question. Yes.
Yeah. How do you pay for all these materials?
Can you speak up? How do we pay
for the materials and the financial how your own support?
For everything. How are you supported?
Well, we are supported partly by this church and then by others. I see some people in this room who are supporting us, and we're thankful for that. Jackie has supporters also from the UK, her home church, and other friends there. The projects are supported by donors through different Wycliffe organizations in different countries. So Wycliffe USA is supporting some of our projects. Wycliffe Canada has supported some of our projects. Wycliffe Hong Kong has supported some of our projects. So the translators in full projects are able to receive a regular salary so they can devote themselves full time to the work. And then we also get special funding, like to publish 1,000 copies of Genesis or to publish the New Testaments when they're finished. There's special funding by Wycliffe raises, people are really like to contribute to, that seems very tangible. I helped to publish a New Testament, and it costs about somewhere around $26,000 for the printing of a New Testament, about 12,000 copies of a New Testament. So, all right. Yes, keep your hands going up if you have questions. So I'm going to now go to a finishing project and tell you a little bit about them. This is the Baya, and Raphael and Agostino, and it's funny, Raphael sounds like a Marine drill corps, drill sergeant. He has a big, boomy voice. He's very tall, and one of my colleagues, when he first met Raphael, he thought, boy, a really arrogant guy. But that's not true. Raphael is like a just this tender-hearted, just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And Agostino is sitting next to me. And And Christine Vaug is sitting at the far end. Christine Vaug has her PhD in linguistics. I have my master's degree in linguistics, and believe me, I know the difference, okay? So she was helping us, and this was now 2014, and I'm going through Romans, doing what I call this exegetical review before a consultant check, trying to improve, find out where their things are misunderstood, trying to get it better, so when it comes to the consultant, he can get it better still. But I didn't know very much about this language, and this language, you say the word Igi. That's I-G-I. Igi can mean they. Igi can mean you, plural. Igi can mean a verb. And I discovered finally that when you say I believe in, the in has to be I in. And if you say you believe in, it has to be you singular in. Or he believes in, it has to be a he in, a different tone. Or we in, or you plural in, or they in. So Iggy is you plural, or they. Iggy, you plural, Iggy, they. And so as we glossed, got the correct English gloss under each of their words, it helps us spot when the tone is wrong. It helps us see when the tone is wrong. So we were just starting that process then. I first worked with him in 2013 for the very first time. I am now quite proud, I'm proud but happy, that when I'm looking at their verse and the English words underneath, sometimes with some of their words, they're very short words, it can mean the, it can mean he, it can mean be. The one word can have many, many different meanings, even the same tone. And so I'm looking and I have to figure out which one it should be, and of course they're helping me. But I can just pretty much read the verse and understand what they're saying. Sometimes they have to help me. When it comes to parable, it's hole in the potato. That's a parable. I've still understood why hole in the potato means parable, but that's what it means. So these are children outside their translation office in WOW. Now they are the one translation project that they did most of their translation work in Khartoum. At one point they had 5 translators. Some of them died, and we were left with 2, and we're trying to finish. This is Raphael with his mother and his wife. He's very pleased that I took this picture and gave him a copy because his mother passed away shortly after that. This is their office in WOW. And I am here doing the consultant check of Revelation in, I think, 2015. And as part of that consultant check, we read through the book of Revelation. After I go through it with the translators, we make corrections. Then we read through the book with members of the BIA community. And the man standing next to me, that very, very short man, he's in his 80s. And he's a lay teacher in the Catholic Church, loves God's Word, holds Bible studies. And I remember the woman sitting, kneeling there. She's just very, very touched. She learned things. She'd never read, never heard the book of Revelation before, and things she had learned. This is Raphael and his wife. Yes?
Just a little superficial question.
How is it safer to go into the bush?
Now here we are doing a reading through stories, BIA stories, and Christine is looking at these and helping us understand what's happening and helping me know how to gloss, put meaningful English word or phrase under each of their words, helping us to know how to find out where the tone is mismarked in translation. So we actually have a lot of fun when we do this. We really enjoy one another. And Raphael teases Augustino, "You're useful sometimes." And here we were working in June of this year. This is one of our new offices. We have wonderful new offices, a new conference center. Our compound has never been better, but then we're asking ourselves, can we stay and can we continue to work?
And in the midst of this, there is a church, there is a South Sudanese church, which is made up of all these different people groups. And, I think really that's where some of our prayer should be for, you know, because, you know, in Christ, Christ destroys the barriers. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about barriers between, you know, Jews and Gentiles, but between many different groups, it makes us one in the body of Christ. So I think one of our prayers at this time is for the church, you know, that the church would be a light in this place and be able to speak against the hatred and the revenge that there is there. So I just thought this picture is a very kind of powerful representation of that. Well, it's a bit of a mix. So there are mixed churches, and certainly the church is trying to work for peace as well. But there are also, you know, we also see, you know, like in any churches anywhere, you know, you've had a lot of political divisions here in US, you know, because of the elections. And, you know, you see some of the same things in South Sudan. So, and I think what I see is that sometimes leaders of different ethnic groups, you know, they, you know, maybe find it more difficult to, you know, confess that they are actually causing damage, or their own group is causing damage, you know. I see a lot of good in the church, but I also see flaws in the church.
Anyway, maybe we can wrap up. Jackie finish, and then you can ask us more questions afterwards. We can let you go.
So really, I just put a few praise and prayer points up. So really, you know, as I was talking about with the picture, I think, you know, our prayer should be for the churches and Christians to be unified and courageous, and to speak life and truth into the society, and for the different leaders to find a way of peace. And, I mean, we give praise that we've been okay, and actually we have been able to go back in September, and we are still working there. The Lord has kept us safe and most of our staff safe. And so we have 5 New Testaments that are nearly ready, and 4 other full projects are ongoing, and we have other startup work besides that going on. So we really need wisdom as to whether we can stay, or, you know, how we go forward. And do pray for this completion work, because Satan certainly attacks us all, and particularly attacks projects which are completing and the New Testament's nearly ready. So we have a lot of challenges with distribution. How do you get the Bibles into the community when, you know, roads are very insecure? We want to have dedications in the community, and we want the churches to be using the scripture. And at the moment, I think, as Wes said, one of those, the first projects completing, that has now been printed in Korea, and it's on the boat from Korea to Mombasa, so that the first New Testament's coming in. So,
Korea, South Korea?
Yeah, yeah. They actually do a lot of Bible printing there. They print very good quality Bibles. And anyway, there's a gentleman at the back who I think has a question.
Lord God, we are thankful for the work that has been done. We're thankful for these 5 New Testaments that are nearing completion, one that's already been printed, one about to be printed, and 3 more that will be finishing in this next year. We pray for the country of South Sudan, for its leaders. We're called to pray for leaders. We pray that there can be wisdom, a turning away from the path of violence, a turning to reconciliation and to justice. We pray for these projects that are finishing to receive God's word, for people to be touched and hearts to be changed, people to receive our Lord Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And we pray for wisdom and protection for those of us working in South Sudan to know how to continue to work, or what to do if we cannot work there. And we just pray for each one here to hold us up and to hold this situation up before you, and give you praise for this opportunity to serve you in this way. I feel tremendously blessed and honored. I feel very humbled that I can day by day read God's word with translators, grappling with their language and understand, trying to find a good way to be accurate and clear and natural, that God's word will speak in a clear way to their people. I pray that you would give us strength to continue this work. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I give praise and prayer. Amen.
Amen.